This is Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. Okay, so there was this episode of Scrubs, the medical sitcom, you hear it there, a few seasons back.
Peddle their new drugs. And at Sacred Heart, that means one thing. Julie's here.
All right, you might have missed the top there, but the visual is that a pharmaceutical rep walks into the hospital. She's blonde, buxom, and brilliant at handing out pens and pills and sports tickets to willing doctors. So that's the comedic satire, but it bites because many healthcare reform advocates think that there was some truth to it. They believe that free gifts from pharmaceutical companies have an undue influence on doctors and what they prescribe, and consequently on the overall cost of health care. So in 2008, a groundbreaking state law banned big-ticket gifts to doctors. But now some on Beacon Hill want to change that. And last week, the House voted to repeal the medical gift ban because they believe it's done more harm than good, especially in this difficult economy. They say the ban has had a negative impact on convention and restaurant businesses because the medical industry representatives are so wary of this law, they're wary of coming to Massachusetts. And they say it's had no measurable effect in bringing down healthcare costs. So listeners, what do you make of it? Do you think the ban on medical gifts should remain in effect in Massachusetts? Are you in the medical industry? And have you experienced some of the whining and dining that has gone on until 2008 between doctors and drug company reps? Who's really the winner here? Pharmaceutical companies, medical device makers, doctors, or at the end of the day, patients? We're at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. You can join us on the phone there or online at wbur.org/Boston. So joining us now to talk about this new proposed repeal of the medical gift ban is Georgia Maharis. She's a policy manager with Healthcare for All and heads the Massachusetts Prescription Drug Reform Coalition. Georgia Maharis, welcome to Radio Boston.
Thank you.
Also with us is Tom Tremble. He's vice president of state government relations for AdvaMed. It's a Washington, D.C.-based medical device association and lobbying group. Tom Tremble, welcome to you as well.
Thank you.
So, Georgia Maharis, let me first outline just briefly the legislators in the House who did pass a repeal just in the House of the medical gift ban say that it has produced some kind of chilling effect, that it's prevented restaurants from having additional business, that it could have an impact on conventions that want to come here, et cetera. That's part of their argument. But another part of the argument is that it's actually done nothing to reduce healthcare costs. So before we tackle that, remind us why it is it that people initially thought that healthcare costs rise because of the gifts that doctors receive from pharmaceutical industries and the medical device industry?
Thank you. The reason that we passed this law in 2008 was so that all patients and all residents in Massachusetts could have access to quality, affordable drugs that were also proven to be safe. And at the time and now, there continues to be research that shows the billions of dollars that the pharmaceutical and medical device industries spent on speaking with doctors and marketing to doctors drives up medical costs. For all of these interactions, there's about a 300 to 500% return on investment. So it's not just the marketing dollars that are being spent, but it's also the extra brand name prescriptions that then the doctors are prescribing, which drives up all prescription drug costs, and then overall healthcare costs.
And yet these are effective drugs. They're drugs that have been approved. It's not that they don't work. It's just that you feel that doctors were choosing them over the cheaper generics.
Yes, there's been a whole body of research by the social science field that shows that when someone is given a gift, specifically pens, pencils, post-it notes, they sets up an expectation of reciprocity. And the way this works in the medical field with the drug and device company representatives is that doctors feel obliged to return the gift in some way that translates into higher prescribing of the drugs that are on those pens or on those post-it notes.
Mm-hmm. We should say that there are some numbers behind this. The average generic drug costs about $35, while the average, quote, designer medication costs about $138. That's according to the Massachusetts Prescription Reform Coalition. The law itself requires that any gifts over $50 be reported to the State Department of Public Health, and the big ticket items, of course, sports tickets, theater tickets, vacation trips are banned, and violators face fines up to $5,000. So Tom Tremble of of AdvaMed, the state government relations for AdvaMed, I'm sorry, what's your concern with this ban? Why do you want to see it repealed?
Well, actually, that's a good question, actually, because we have not been pushing for its repeal. As you mentioned, I think the big push seems to be with the Restaurant Association. It sounds like a lot of restaurants in the city and other places around the state have been concerned about the impact on their business, as well as I think you mentioned the convention business as well.
Have you seen the law interfere with your ability to go speak with doctors, go to doctors' offices, talk about your products, you know, get their ear in the middle of a busy day?
Well, see, I mean, that goes back to that. There's a really a big difference between the way pharmaceuticals and medical devices are both produced and get to patients. With medical devices, as you said, that's the industry that I'm representing. And really, they're developed with in close collaboration with physicians, so you really need to have that interaction on getting their feedback. And so that's, I mean, hopefully there's not any problems with that continuing. And a lot of the pens and notepads you mentioned, we have a strong code of ethics that bans those type of gifts completely, as well as you know, the lavish trips or other sporting events, things like that.
What was that code of ethics enacted prior to 2008? When the
We've had one for several years, but it has just been was updated last year in 2009, and really added some more provisions to it. And one of the provisions is posting on our website of companies that are in compliance. So it gets that transparency that I think has been behind a lot of the efforts in Massachusetts and as well as the national level as well. And since the Massachusetts law passed, it was part of the health care reform at the federal level. It included a provision that requires companies to report their financial relationships with physicians. So I think that's seems like the right way to go, having one national standard, which, again, I think gets to the information that really consumers want to have. And that's what we're very supportive of transparency in this area. We just want to make sure that physicians are able to still have the relationships they need with companies on developing products and getting the training they need on the appropriate way to use devices. When a new equipment comes out, they need to have training on that.
Well, let me turn here to Georgia Maharis again Healthcare for All. Speaking of transparency, this law has actually only been in effect for basically a year. July 2009 is when it went into effect, and July of this year was when we're supposed to start getting the first flood of reporting on this. So I couldn't dig it up yet. It looks like the Department of Public Health is going to have that up maybe by the fall sometime, hopefully. But have we actually seen any quantifiable effects in terms of the impact that the bill has had? Because people will argue that healthcare costs haven't gone down at all.
So you're right that the law just went into effect a year ago on July 1st, and the first reports were due on July 1st of this year, so just a couple weeks ago now. And unfortunately, we don't have any of that data yet from the Department of Public Health. It's the first time they're collecting the data, so they have to evaluate it and make sure that it's posted appropriately on the newly developed website that they've created. But there actually has been some data that's been released on a national aggregate level. Some of the companies, most recently Johnson & Johnson, posted information about drug payments that they were making to different providers on their website. It's a little hard to navigate, but it's there. But regarding the second half of your question about if this has really driven down costs, I will say that healthcare costs are steadily rising, and we're at a crisis point in Massachusetts. However, our drug costs have held steady. They're only about 10 to 12%, and they have not increased, which is fairly significant because from 1995 until 2006, our drug costs rose exponentially.
Mm-hmm. Well, a little earlier today, we spoke with Marjorie Powell. She's general counsel at Pharmaceutical Research and Manufacturers of America, or Pharma. They are the major pharmaceutical lobbying group in Washington, D.C. And she actually, quite frankly, took a pretty strong objection to the notion that doctors are influenced by pens and bags and vacations in terms of what they prescribe to their patients.
I have not ever found a physician who would prescribe a medicine for a patient that didn't need that medicine or where the doctor thought there was a better medicine because a pharmaceutical company representative had brought a sandwich in to the doctor and a sandwich for the nurse practitioner who's going to be dealing with patients.
Well, let's get a thought from another doctor. Elizabeth is calling from Framingham. Welcome to Radio Boston, Elizabeth.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. I'm a physician. I live in Framingham, and I practice in Marlboro. I've been in practice since 2002. I never got any swag bigger than a piece of pizza or a Post-it or a pen. However, I have no objection to the laws that currently stand. I don't know that it makes much difference, but it certainly does no harm. And the first principle of the care of the patient is do no harm. I think our legislators should expand this law to apply to them. They get junkets. They get Red Sox tickets. They get fancy trips. Why should they get it if I'm expected not to?
Good question, Elizabeth. Let's take another call here from Ridgefield, Connecticut. Mary's on the line. Welcome to Radio Boston, Mary.
Hi. I am a physician. I am of the generation of physicians. I graduated from medical school a long time ago in the late 70s. I'm in the generation of physicians that in those days, pharmaceutical companies would often take entire classes, the senior class of a medical school, to the Kentucky Derby and put them up for a whole weekend and wine and dine them and girlfriends and spouses. And I actually have been an academic physician all my life. I've done research for drug companies. I've been involved in CME. It is not about the pens. Yeah, doctors would be insulted to think I'm going to give a drug because somebody gives me a ballpoint pen.
Well, the pens are an example. I mean, you mentioned doctors being taken to the Kentucky Derby.
Yeah, that's a big thing. But let me just tell you what's really at the nexus of this. Doctors are very busy. When I was in medical school, the number of, for example, antihypertensives you could count on both hands. When we look at how many antihypertensives are available now, multiply that by 3 or 4. Doctors are influenced by when they are given, it's not just the pen, they are given articles that are written, some of them ghostwritten by people working for the drug companies. They are given information, and oftentimes that will influence their ability to make a decision. Ironically, in the field of antihypertensives, one of the drugs that was available when I was a medical student, which cost about 10 cents a pill, mm-hmm. is still one of the most effective first lines. So when we're talking about costs, we need to look at this very carefully. There, I urge people to read a very interesting book, Powerful Medicines by Jerry Avorn at Harvard, about the risk, benefits, and costs of the drug industry. There is a movement about academic detailing in which instead of having drug company detail people come in, you have people who come in and say, let us give you the academic peer-reviewed studies on this class of drugs that you're thinking about.
Mary, I'm sorry to cut you off here, but you've actually brought a lot to the table that I'd like to have our guest comment on. Thank you so much for your call. Georgia Maharis from Healthcare for All. So here we have a doctor who's saying, yeah, the influence is there, but it's also part of the bigger issue of the relationship overall between pharmaceutical companies, medical device companies, and doctors themselves. So is this ban, which, again, the House has moved to repeal, the Senate has not yet, is it enough?
When the law was passed in 2008, it was crafted in a balanced way to try and protect the very important relationships and collaborations we have in Massachusetts between our providers and the industry. And we think that there's definitely value between industry and research collaborations, and everyone agrees with that. We want to keep having the drugs and the devices made to take care of people. But the Institutes of Medicine, major hospitals like UMass, Boston University Medical Center, Partners Healthcare, they've all decided that we need transparency, we need to ban the gifts, we need to limit these interactions and constrain them. Because in the end, it's all about the patient. And prescribing to patients should be based on good science and not on gifts and marketing.
Mm-hmm. Tom Tremble of AdvaMed, when the ban was first passed in Massachusetts in 2008, Robert Coughlin, he's president of the Massachusetts Biotechnology Council, he worried that it would kind of have a chilling effect on just plain old doing business. Here in Massachusetts, he said that the regulation would hamper sales and marketing efforts by life sciences firm, which, quote, then has a trickle-down impact on the money that's available for research and development. Have businesses that are with AdvaMed, have they seen that or reported that to you as a change in the business climate in Massachusetts for device makers?
Well, as you were saying earlier, with the the report, first report just filed the last week, I think, that I'm not aware of any data yet, that, and I have not heard any anecdotal information either that that addresses that at all. So, I mean, I think certainly a concern I've heard from others, but I think there's still need to see more information on that.
Mm-hmm. We've got some comments online at wbur.org/Boston. David Feldsen says, if, as some of the callers claim, gifts don't influence doctors, then why do the drug companies even bother to do it? And Imagication says, are they going to sell out the credibility of our healthcare system to help the restaurants a little? Doesn't sound worth it. I want my doctors not being bribed to prescribe me the third best drug. So a very strong feeling there from some listeners who have commented online. Georgia Maharis, you followed what's happening on Beacon Hill very closely. You followed it, obviously, in 2008 when the ban was instituted. Do you have a sense as to if this could go beyond the House, the proposed repeal of the ban? Could it go beyond the House?
As some folks like to say, it's July and it's the end of session, so anything could happen at the State House. We're hoping that it does not go beyond the House. We feel that we have the facts on our side that show that the influence is still there, and curbing this influence is the best thing we can do for Massachusetts residents and for all of our patients. And so I think we'll just have to see over the next 18 days what happens.
Georgia Maharis, policy manager with Healthcare for All and the head of the Massachusetts Prescription Reform Coalition, thank you for being with us.
Thank you.
And Tom Tremble, vice president of state government relations for AdvaMed. Thank you as well for your time today, Mr. Tremble.
Thank you.
And when we come back, a little play on the state of play in children and, well, children playing in playgrounds. I'm Meghna Chakravarti. This is Radio Boston. We'll be right back.